Let's jump in. So on Vav Amud Bet, we're back to this last line of the Mishnah. And to clarify, I don't know if we clarified this last time, and I still not got like a 100% sort of black on white someone saying this, but I believe that we're talking about paying with land if it's in a sense, if the circumstances dictate it. So again, person is definitely able to pay with cash, and that is fine as well. But we're talking about if circumstances dictate, then we're talking about payment with land. And if that payment has to be with land, then the Mishnah says l'shalim tashlumin nezek b'meitav ha'aretz. It has to be from the meitav, from the best land. And this is based on the verse in Mishpatim again, chapter 22, verse 4, which we're going to analyze in the Gemara, where it talks about Meitav Sadehu and Meitav Karma. That's where the phrase Meitav Haaretz comes. How exactly we explain that verse is going to be a subject of debate. So this is now about a third of the way down, Vav Amud Beis, at the two dots. Tanu Rabbanan, last little acronym on the line. Tof Reish, standing for Tanu Rabbanan. It was taught in another piece of rabbinic literature. Meitav sadehu u'meitav karmo yeshanim. So that's the verse that I just mentioned, that you have to pay back from the best field or the best vineyard. Meitav sadehu shel nizak u'meitav karmo shel nizak. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yishmael says simply that this is referring to the best field of the nizak, of the person who has been damaged. The mazik is the one who causes the damage. The nizak is the one who has had the damage caused to them. So we're talking about the best field of the nizak. So they are receiving land which is equivalent to their best property. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva Omer, he says, Lo ba hakosuv elo ligvos lenizakin. He says, when it says meitav, it means that you have to take from the best type, but not necessarily of the best type, from the best type of the nizak, of the person who's been damaged. It could be a different type of idis, as he's going to explain. The kal v'chomer lehekdesh, he says, and all the more so when we're talking about hekdesh, when we're talking about making a pledge to some higher purpose, for instance, the temple, right? That payment, again, would be taken from the idis, from best type of land. Rabbi Yishmael, so what exactly is Rabbi Yishmael referring to? So this is where the Gemara begins to sort of try and take apart Rabbi Yishmael, okay? Take apart Rabbi Yishmael. Before we get back to Rabbi Akiva, first we're going to take apart the first opinion that we're now, that the payment has to be from the equivalent to the best type of land of the nizak, the person who has been damaged. So the way not to understand it is the way the Gemara is going to outline at the moment. Ochal shemena, mishalim shemena. So one could say, ochal shemena, mishalim shemena. What happens is, let's say your animal comes along and eats from a good part of the field, very, very, particularly good crop, that area of the field. Then mishalim shemena, then you have to pay back, that type of crop, a very, very good crop. Ochal kechusha mishalim shemena. But if it ate from the worst part, right, from not such a good part of the crop, mishalim shemena, you have to pay back the shemena as well. You have to pay back from the best as well. So Omar Rav Idi Bar Avin responds and says, Hocha b'mayoskinon. What exactly are we talking about here? Kagon sheochal aruga bein ha'arugas. Let's say you have a number of rows or a number of let's say sort of a bush. We'll call them a bush for now. So let's say you have a various bushes in your field, and they ate one of them. We're not sure exactly which one from. You know that the animal came in, but you're not sure exactly which one it was. So what exactly do we do? We're not sure if he ate from the best one, from a sort of particularly good one, or from a not such a good one, right? In which case the value will be less. The value of the payment will be less. So Omar Rava says as follows. If we were to know dikachusha ochal, that they ate from this low level, from this not so good bush, then lo mishalim elekchusha, then they would be expected to pay back the equivalent of what they ate, i.e. they didn't eat particularly good food, particularly good fruit, so therefore they only have to pay back that amount. Hashta de lo yodinon, right, now that we're talking about a case where we don't know whether they ate good or not good, we're not sure exactly of the value, de lo yodinon ikachusha ochal, ish shmeina ochal, whether they ate a good one or not, mishalim shmeina, this is a rhetorical question, right, now, should they be paying back from the best, should they now be paying back equivalent to having eaten a very, very good one. Hamotzi mechavera olav araya. So this is a phrase which we briefly spoke about last time, that in general, when it comes to monetary matters, if I am trying to make a claim against you, then I am the one who has to bring the burden of proof. Hamotzi mechavera, someone who is making the claim, someone who is, i.e. receiving the payment in this case, olav haraya, they are the one who has to bring the burden of proof. And therefore the nizak, in this case, the one who has had the damage caused to them, is the one who is receiving the payment. They should be, in a sense, they should only be getting paid back to the equivalent of their best food if they can provide proof that that is what the animal ate. That's the Gemara's response at this point. Right, so therefore, that clearly is not what we're referring to. We're not referring to a case where we're not sure what the animal ate, and therefore we assume that it ate from the best, because if that was the case, then that goes against this principle of hamotzi mechavera olav haraya, i.e. that the person who's receiving the payment is the person who has to provide the proof, and therefore we're going to assume the lower level rather than the higher level. So that's not the case that Rabbi Shmuel is referring to. So what is he referring to? I lost myself. You know, where are we? El Omer of Achabari. Okay, yes, back. Sorry. So now we're just below halfway. Just below halfway down the page, the middle of the line. We're starting with Ella Omer Rav Achabari Yaakov. El Omer of Achabar Yaakov. So now we've rejected that as the possibility for the explanation of Rabbi Yishmael, and we're going to suggest a new one. What exactly does Rabbi Yishmael mean? Omer of Achabar Yaakov, Hocha b'may askin, and this is the case that we're talking about. Kagon shahaisa idis de nizak, kaziboris de mazik. So we have a case where the damaged party has the highest level of land is equivalent to the lowest level of land of the mazik, of the person who has caused the damage. Uvaha pligi Rabbi Shmuel. This is the point that Rabbi Shmuel is disagreeing on. Sovar bidin nizak shaymino. He says that the value of best, in this case, where the Torah says that you have to pay back from the best land, that best is based up until, in a sense, there's a cap put on it, on the nizak's land, on the person who has had the damage caused to them. Rabbi Kiva Ovar Sovar Bidam Mazik Shaminan. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that we value it based on the land of the Mazik. My time with Rabbi Shmuel. What's the reasoning for Rabbi Shmuel? So Ne'emar Sode Lamata, V'ne'emar Sode Lamala. So Rabbi Shmuel interprets the verse as follows. When it says the word Sode in the verse, it actually says it a few times. And at the beginning of the verse, it's talking about the sode, the field, in the sense that the damage has been caused to that field, i.e. that's clearly referring to the field of the nizak, of the damaged party, because that's where the damage took place. Therefore, he says, the sode, ma sode omer lamale, lamala de nizak, just as the word sode, when we're talking about the field in the early part of the verse, is clearly referring to the damaged party, because we're talking about where the damage took place. Af sode ha'omer lamata, when it's talking about this field at the later part of the verse, i.e. where it's talking about repayment, it's talking about the payment that must come as a result of the damage, that must also be referring to that must also be referring to the field of the nizak, and therefore he says that is the value on which it is based. Ver Rabbi Akiva, what about Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva is going to have a slightly different interpretation of the verse. Rabbi Kiva says, Meitav Sadehu, U Meitav Karmo Yishanim. So he's emphasizing the, I think you call it the possessive article, but I'm sure the people who were the linguists will correct me if that's wrong. The fact that we're talking about his field and his vineyard, that is the part that Rabbi Kiva is emphasizing, i.e., who is paying back? Meitav Karmo, Meitav Sadehu, Meitav Karmo Yishanim. De ha'ech deka mishalim. We're talking about the ones that belong to the person who is doing the payment, i.e. he is the one who is paying, therefore we are talking about his field, he has to pay back from his best field, his best vineyard, and therefore it is based on the value of the mazik's field, of that who, of the person who has caused the damage. Right, so that's basically the way that the Gemara sets up, at least initially, this debate between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishmael, that even within the word best, the question is, are we referring to the best, or are we referring to the best being limited by the best field of the damaged party, or by the best field of the damaging part? Okay, this is what we spoke about last time, but just think it's good to review before we plunge into the next part.
Rabbi, quick question.
Yes.
How are we assessing the monetary or the damage done? For example, let's say damage is done to inferior land and the damager only has superior land. Clearly it wouldn't be, for example, a hectare per a hectare.
Right.
So no, how would they work out, let's say you only need to give a third of a hectare for the hectare damaged? On what basis are we working out what needs to be repaired to make whole?
So again, we're talking, all of this is going to be talking about, for lack of a better term, dollar value in a sense. So we're talking about the amount of money. So the amount that was consumed, we're going to figure out what that is. Again, that's not our subject now, figuring out what is owed, but the bill is going to be determined, whether it's, you know, 100, 1,000, whatever it may be. And then that bill is then going to be translated into land. But the point is that the land only has to be of the quality. We're only talking about the quality. We're not talking about the value here. We're not talking about the amount. We're only talking about the quality.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is that let's say X amount is eaten or X hectare is damaged. That has got to be the starting point to decide how that damage is going to be rectified.
Yeah, but that's not, that's just not relevant to this part of the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara is not talking about here about valuing the damage that was done. The Gemara is talking about now that the person has to come and repay, how does that repayment have to be done? And assuming that they're paying with land, the Gemara is now going through saying that when we say from the best land, is that, does that mean the best of the, again, the simplest way to phrase it at the moment is, according to Rabbi Kiva, that's going to be the best land of the person who has caused the damage, and according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's going to be the best land of the person who has had the damage caused to them.
But it shouldn't make any difference unless you're doing a physical transfer of land. What difference?
What difference whether it's
superior, inferior, or anything else?
Because one's preferable in the same way that you. I think we sort of briefly discussed this last time. Land, there's always going to be more. You know, the person will prefer one over another. So you'll always ask for the best one. And the question is whether the courts should grant the request or not. Right? I will want the best land. If you are a property owner, I will ask you to pay back in, I don't know, from your Mayfair properties rather than from your other properties, and you. Again, could say yes or no, but again, the courts will either enforce that or not, depending on the opinion of Rabbi Kiva or Rabbi Shmuel.
Maybe I'm being dense. I'm sorry. I'm just not being carried with this, because I can understand if it's a hectare for a hectare. That I can understand. Then you talk about quality. But you're not talking about that. You're talking about damage, which needs to be compensated from a source, which may be land, which may be money, maybe one type of land or another type of land. I don't understand this argument that where should it come from? Because my argument there, my counter argument is, it doesn't matter where it comes from, whether it's inferior.
No,
or...
but Andy, if it Andy, doesn't, again, what we're trying to understand is the last subordinate clause of the Mishnah, which specifically refers to the B'mitav ha'aretz. And we're trying to understand, well, what does that mean? How does that sound? So we're not really valuing. It's not a question of quantifying. We're really asking a very narrow question here. What does it mean when it says you've got to compensate from b'mitav ha'aretz? That's all. That's the only question we're looking at.
But I'm saying, Phil, it's irrelevant. It's an irrelevant.
I think that you just need to go out and see. Like, I don't think you would feel that way in any other thing. In all life, there you can have different things of different values, and people will prefer one over another. If you line up a room with 50 things worth £1,000, people will have preferences of those 50 things. Yes, all of them will add up to £1,000, but everyone will have preferences. Some cases, the preferences will be very variable depending on the person, and in other cases there'll be a sort of a general sense, you know, that most people would prefer one over another. So here the Gemara is making an assessment that there are certain types of land that will be more preferable on average than others. Again, let's say you don't want to be paid back. Let's say we also discussed this last time. Let's say, as a general rule, we say X land is better and Y land is worse, but you happen to prefer Y. Y field is near your grandmother, so you like that field. So again, you can take the worse land, I believe, and I think we discussed that last time. But objectively, there's going to be a, maybe not objectively, but as a general rule, I should say, as a general rule, there will be preferences, even if the actual value is exactly. I don't think this is limited to land. I think this is across anything. But to come back, I just want to make sure that we sort of keep the flow of this, of these points as well. So we were talking. So we've left off with this debate, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, okay, about best, whatever best may mean. But we're talking about whether we're talking about the best of the damaged party or of the damaging party. And they've basically presented their opinions based on different interpretations of the verse. So Rabbi Shmuel had interpreted the verse based on the sort of connecting the first half with the second half, the first part talking about Sada and the second part talking about Sada, and he's saying must be referring to the same Sada. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, but the end, when the Torah says his field, paying back from the best of his field, his must be referring to the person who is making the payment. Okay, so that's where we've left off now. Now the Gemara points out from here. So this is now from Verabi Yishmael, about 10 lines from the end of the page. First word of the line, Verabi Yishmael. First words on the line. Ahani gezira shava va'ahani kro. So Rabbi Shmuel actually sort of takes a little bit of both. Why? Ahani gezira shava kidika amina. We've just said that he connects the word sada at the beginning with the word sada at the end. That's his basic. That's the opinion we've talked about, or the part that we understand. Ahani kro. But he also uses Rabbi Kiva's logic, Rabbi Kiva's interpretation of the verse. How? Kagon de isle lamazik idis vaziboros. Let's say that the damager has actually very high quality land and low quality land as well. Ve'idis l'nizak, the person who has had the damaged party only has idis, only has high quality land, at least from their perspective. Ve'ziboris damazik, the worst part of the lower level of the damaged, oh, sorry, the damager's property. Lo shavya k'idis denizak. So it says it's not exactly equal. Zibros demazik lo shavya k'idis denizak. It's not exactly equal to the best land of the nizak. So I think we explained last time. You sort of talk about level 1, 2, and 3. So 1 is the best, 2 is middle, and 3 is the worst. So the damager has levels 1 and 3, right? He has in a sense fields that are considered to be level 1 and level 3, and the damaged party has fields only worth level 2. So now, usually, Rabbi Ishmael would say you have to pay back level 2, right? I.e., you have to pay back from the best level of the nizak, of the damaged. But you can't pay level two because you don't have level two. You only have level one and level three. The question is, are you required to make that jump up? Are you required to go even higher to level one? Or no, if you don't have level two, then you drop down, then you only need to pay back from this level three payment, i.e. from this lower, slightly lower level land, because that is your next level debt. So what does... So Rabbi Shmuel concludes, okay, I'm just going back again, finding my place. The lower level of the damages field is not equivalent to the higher level of the damaged field. I was talking about levels two and three. Dimashalim le mimeitav didei. So in that case, Rabbi Shmuel actually says, yes, you are required to jump up to level one. And that is where he, again, borrows this interpretation of the verse from Rabbi Kiva, the same thing. In that case, we do actually say, mimeitav sodehu, from his best field, i.e. from the field of the person who is making the payment. Delo motzi amale, he's not able to say, to at gabi miziboris, elo gabi mimeitav. He's not able to say, come along and take from my worst land, elo gabi mimeitav, you have to come and take, actually, from my best land. An interesting question that is raised, which... an interesting question that's raised is whether we're talking about here from literally the best, right? I.e. it has to be considered someone's best, or whether we're just saying, no, it should be the best of the damaged party, and whatever's equivalent to that should actually work fine. So let's say you have a sort of an in-between. Let's say you have three levels of land. So again, you can subdivide it and subdivide it. And of course, as always, the Rishonim do go into sort of all of the various details, all of the little possibilities that
Rabbi, can I ask a question?
Yes, but as I said,
what if in the best piece of land,
yes,
there is a strategic piece that the person who has damaged wants to retain, but the damager wants it? So I'm prepared to give him of my best land, but there's a piece of land that he wants, but for some reason or another, it's a piece of land I have reserved, maybe to build some houses on, whatever. Can I reserve my position?
Right, so you have land, you have the same quality land, you have this high quality,
yes,
land to give.
Yes.
You can choose which of that high quality land to give, if that's what the question is.
Yes. So it's not for the damaged party to point out and say,
correct,
okay, I'll have that bit.
Right.
And you cannot refuse it.
Right. Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Correct. Thank you for, yes, interesting question. Yes, this is not a choice. This is just sort of the Bet Din will sort of, as I say, put the we'll set level requirements, in a sense. We'll say that you have to choose from this level, assuming that it's available to the mazik, to the damager. But within that level, the damager will, in a sense, choose how to pay this back. And again, as always, as we said before, the damager can choose to convert this into money and pay back with money, right? If that's simpler to do, if they would prefer to do that, then they can do that. They can just sell it off and pay back. But we're talking about where they want to pay, where we're talking about where they are choosing to pay with land, then these are the requirements to pay with that land. And I think this is actually where we got up to last time. So we're going to now continue with the Rabbi Kiva.
Rabbi. Yes. Come back to my theme again there. So if the possibility on the damager is to pay compensation in monetary equivalent, does that mean that party damage can refuse to accept the money rather than the land?
No, I don't believe so. No, if they're paying with money,
I come back to my original proposition that it doesn't matter then whether you're talking about the compensation is from superior or inferior. All that has to be done is sufficient assets needs to be raised to make good the damage caused.
Right. So you mean if they choose to sell off their worst land instead of paying back for the best land?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that's the case, correct. But you still have to go through the hassle of doing that. So in the sense of that, if you'd like to do that, then I think you do that. But if not, then this is the expectation. Again, like you say, we're talking about a minimal difference here, or potentially a minimal difference, because the value is going to be the same, right? So you're not actually, the person is not making extra money by doing that. It's in a sense of, I wouldn't say question of hassle, but there is a question of preference. So you do have, we're just sort of setting out these, the halacha really tries to cover almost everything. So in a sense, if you don't cover this, then people will come along and say, I want to do X, I want to do Y, what is the requirement? And in this case, the halacha is simply laying out, as I said, a relatively minor point. This could be, I've never dealt with these cases. I would imagine this is not a very common case that comes up, in a sense. I would imagine this is not a huge chunk of time that is spent in court cases discussing this point. But actually, it does raise a lot of side issues, as they as the Gemara often tends to do. For instance, we've talked about the principle of Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Araya. Here, there's a very, very long, interesting discussion, which maybe actually we should spend time doing. But I'm not sure I'm quite prepared for that this time. But there's a very long, interesting discussion as to whether Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Araya, this principle that that you as the person receiving the money has to provide the proof, whether that really should be applying to this case or not, or whether the Gemara, like in its conclusion, is the Gemara actually saying that that would apply to this case, or is it sort of borrowing a term? One could argue that principle doesn't really apply to this case, because that is talking about, let's say, where I'm trying to make a claim in the first place. So if I say you lent me, £1,000, I have to provide proof in order for that court case to get going, right? In order for that claim to sort of get off the ground, I need to provide some sort of proof. Otherwise, we'll just say, very nice, you know, let's get on with our day if I have no proof of that. But in this case, we know that the court case has already got off the ground. We know that the damage has been done. The only question here is how much. So the application of that principle may not be exact. And as I said, that's a long, interesting sort of discussion that springs out from this Gemara. But as I said, in terms of the core idea of this Gemara, I cannot imagine it's a very, very common sort of part of regular, certainly not now, and probably not even in times of temple either. Can't imagine it's a very common part of this. Okay. Yes, does someone else have a question? But
Rabbi, sorry, just only to say that I'm not sure how uncommon it is. I think this is covering a situation where you've got a judgment against somebody, but the person you've got a judgment against doesn't have the money to meet the judgment. And so you have to there and then. And so this is a rule that applies that determines how that judgment is to be met.
Yeah, but
and actually, I would have thought that not having the money to there and then to meet a judgment is not that uncommon at all.
So that I agree with. My point was, I'm happy to concede the point because I really have no idea whether it's uncommon or common. But the point I was making was not about the lack of funds, but about we've got into much more specifics than just the lack of funds. We're talking about cases where, let's say, the damager has multiple properties and they're of different levels, and the levels don't exactly match up to the damage levels. This particular case, I think, is what I meant. Is I don't know exactly if you always have it matching up quite as well as that. But yes, I think you're probably right that the person not having the funds to pay probably is relatively common. I mean, I imagine in all legal systems, that's probably relatively common. All right. So now we're back into Rabbi Kiva's thing. Okay. So again, we said Rabbi Shmuel really uses both, right? He says generally you follow the best land of the nizak, of the damaged party, but actually if the damager has levels that don't really match up exactly. So the best of the damaged party, then you have to go to the best of his land, and that's why he says Meitav actually sort of is a bit more fluid. Rabbi Akiva. Now this is seven lines from the bottom. Beginning of the line. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lo bo hakasuv, ela ligvos lenizakin min ha'idis. So this is, again, going back, this is just a direct quote from our earlier statement, excuse me, in the Brisa, where Rabbi Akiva said that this verse is actually telling us that the payment back to the damaged party has to be from the best land, and all the more so to Hektish. Now the Gemara wants to know, my Kal v'chomer Hektish, why are we saying that this is all the more so to Hektish? Why is that the case? Hektish being where, let's say, for instance, I make a pledge to the temple, as an example, right? I'm not going to give the case because I think that's actually what the Gemara is going to discuss. So what's the Gemara want to know? My Kal v'chomer Hektish, what exactly are we talking about? Ilema, if you're going to suggest the Nogach Tura Didon, Latura de Hekdesh, if we're talking about where my animal actually gored the animal of the temple, right? So now we're talking about an animal that belonged to the temple, right? And is that the case that we're talking about, where you're going to have to pay that back? So no. So the Gemara actually says that there's a specific exception for that. The Torah says, Shorei Ehu Omar Achmanu, that when the Torah refers to an animal doing doing damage, it refers to it as shorei ehu, the shor of your friend, the ox of your friend, the ox of your brethren, of somebody else. Velo shor shel hekdesh, and the oral law, our tradition is that actually excludes shor shel hekdesh, that excludes the ox of hekdesh of the temple. Elo laomer hari olai mona. So this is actually the case that we're referring to. Somebody who says, Hari ole modne levitic abayis, I pledge a certain amount to the temple, 100 zuz. I think your mona is 100 zuz, you know, pounds equivalent is to that. I pledge a certain amount to the temple. Da'osi gizbar v'shokil me'idis, that when the accountant, when the finance representative from the temple comes along to claim that pledge, then they come and they can take it from the best land, right? The person doesn't have their money available, they can actually say, you owe this from the best land, maybe this. So lo yehei, so that's the way the Gemara lays that out. It's an interesting side point, is that you actually exempt if your animal ends up causing damage to the animal of the temple. And therefore, the Gemara concludes that we're talking about a case where you pledge an amount, and the claim for that pledge is going to be fulfilled through land, then it has to be taken from the best. So the Gemara asks, Lo yehei ela bal chov, surely this should just be like any other owed amount, not a damage amount, but simply an owed amount, like in any other case where I owe you money, right? I borrow money, let's say, and I owe you, I have to pay you back. That is considered to be a bal chov, and now we're turning over onto, or not turning over, but onto Zayin Amud Aleph, the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. Ubal chov bebeinonis. So bal chov actually has to take from the middle level. So we've only talked about idis and ziboris until this point, level one and level three. But there's an in-between level. So you have a mid-level land. Beinonis, so that's actually the level where a bal chov has to take from. Can take from. But if I owe you money, not because I damaged you, but because I borrowed money and I just, you know, have a debt, then that doesn't get taken from the best land. That gets taken from mid-level land. V'chitema, therefore the Gemara wants to know, why is this any different, right? If I make a pledge to the temple, that should just be like any other owing of money. I haven't caused any damage in this case. Why exactly has Rabbi Akiva made this kal v'chomer, right? Why has Rabbi Akiva said that actually when it comes to Hekdesh, that you have to take from the best land? V'chitema, if you want to suggest Sovar Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva actually disagrees with this principle, and he says Kol ba'al chov nami be'idis, that actually every owed payment also has to be taken from the best land. Ikala mifrach, that's not so straightforward. We can ask a question on that, right? We have a what's called a pirchov. We're going to poke a hole in that argument. Malabal chov shekein yofe kocho benizokin tomar behegdesh shehura kocho benizokin. Then there wouldn't be a kal vachomer here, right? That if Rabbi Kiva was just basically sort of falling back on a more general principle that that in all cases where money is owed, you have to pay back from Idis from the best land, then there's no kal vachomer. Kal vachomer is basically a sort of a logical device saying that if it works in this case, all the more so it should work in another case. But that jump doesn't work from damages to money that is owed. Why? Because the power of money that's owed based on damages, shekein yofe kocho benizokin, toma behekdesh shehura kocho benizokin. So how exactly do we explain this? Let's see if there's a good rashi to lay this out. No, he doesn't really clarify a bit. So basically, I'm trying to think of a good way to phrase hurakofa and the opposite. Let's see if there's a good explanation over here. And yofakofa, yeah. Okay, so in this case, basically, there's no real kal vachomer, right? There's no sort of obvious, logical jump in a sense because, oh, there is a rashi. Sorry, here. Afilu hachi lo gomrin and hekdesh minei, right? Even if the case was where a ba'al of a regular owed money has to be taken from the best land, then you still wouldn't put hekdesh, sort of jump hekdesh up into that category. Why? The ikar lamifrach, this is the second rashi down on the Omud, the ikar lamifrach, because one could point out, ma lebaal chov, shekein yofe kocho b'nizokin, right? When we're talking about someone who owes money, they, not only can they claim money that they owe, but they obviously are expecting to be paid back if damage is caused to them. Because they, in a sense, as you said before, they claim back if damage is caused to them from the best land. Whereas the temple can't make the same claim. The temple can't say that if you were to cause me damage, then I would if you caused me damage, that you would pay me back from the best, because they don't pay back from the best. You don't get paid back at all. If someone causes damage to the animal of the temple, as we said before, the verse actually makes an exemption. Then you would be exempt. You wouldn't pay at all. Not just you wouldn't pay back from the best land, but you wouldn't pay back at all. So la'olam, Gemara says, no, this is what it must mean. La'olam denogach tura didon latura dehekdash. We are talking about a case where you do, where my ox has caused damage to the ox of Hekdash. We earlier said that we have a problem with that because there's an exemption in the verse below Shor Shel Hekdash. Rabbi Kiva Sovar La Rabbi Shimon Ben Manasseh. So that's the part that Rabbi Kiva is disagreeing with. That's the part that Rabbi Kiva actually has a different opinion on. He follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Ben Manasseh. Zitanya, where we have a Brisa, different piece of rabbinic literature. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, Shor Shel Hekdesh, Shenogach Shor Shel Hedyot. If the temple's animal gores my animal, then that's potter. That's where the exemption kicks in. Shor Shel Hedyot, Shenogach Shor Shel Hekdesh. You have the other way round. When my animal gores the animal of the temple, then Bein Tam Bein Mu'ed, Mashalim Nezek Shalim. Not only are you not exempt, you're actually, it's worse. Because usually you would have you would only pay half damages if your animal was a tam. In this case, you actually pay more. So we've put Rabbi Kiva in a very different camp in this, as I said, in this minority opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, that not only is Hekdesh liable, but they're super liable, right? They're actually expected to pay more. Why that is, we're going to have to. Well, we still haven't really ever got to. to chatzi nezek at all, to why you pay half damages altogether. So we'll have to figure that out once we get to that point. But be that as it may, that seems to be the opinion of Shimon ben Manasseh. And Rabbi Kiva falls into that camp. Why have we gone on this whole tangent? Because of that last line of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva had this extra phrase, kal v'chomer l'hekdesh, all the more so when you're paying back the temple, you have to pay back from the best land. We thought that that might mean when I make a pledge to the temple, that that pledge is claimed from the best land. So the conclusion of the Gemara, at least at this point, is that actually we're talking about a case where I've caused damage to the temple, or I've caused damage to, that, to a, let's say, for a temple animal, and I have to pay back. Then I have to pay back from the best land. And what about the fact that we don't have to pay at all if I cause damage to the temple animal? So is there no Rabbi Kiva's of the minority opinion that you do have to pay back? Okay, that's, again, a lot of new information. But hopefully that's at least sort of got us on that flow of the Gemara. What is the difference between Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Akiva? Okay, any questions? We'll pause here if anybody has questions or comments on this point. It'd be good to get down. What's the time? Oh, yeah, we've got 15 minutes. Okay, yeah. It'd be good to get down to the two dots just so we can really sort of, because again, this is the sort of Gemara where it's really flowing from one to another and changing the facts as it goes along, changing our understanding of the opinions. We've really only talked about two opinions, but we keep shifting what those opinions are because we're trying to understand them. So once we get hopefully to the two dots, we'll have a better conclusion as to what Rabbi Shmuel says and what Rabbi Kiva says. But yes, any questions before we go on?
In this case, if the Hekdesh has been made, okay, and that ox has bored a common animal, it says that the Mishkan isn't liable, but surely then that's a contradiction. If the ownership or the beneficial ownership has passed to the temple, and that ox causes damage, surely the temple would be liable to pay. Why would it not be?
Why is a good question. The Gemara doesn't explain at this point. It's a Braisa which says that that's the opinion of Shimon ben Manasseh. Why is that the case?
Rabbi, is it relevant to that question? Am I right in thinking that Hekdesh applies also to an animal or something, an object or an animal that's been nominated by its owner but hasn't yet been delivered to the temple? So it could still be on the property of the person who's nominating it and not yet been delivered to the temple. Still Hekdesh.
That's a good question. The honest answer is it depends how you phrase it, and I don't remember the details of that. So it depends how you phrase your nomination of your animal as to whether it's considered actual Hekdesh.
Or I thought Hekdesh referred to the status of the object, not whether it belongs to the temple physically.
Yes, but let's say I say I'm going to give an animal to. Let's say I only own one cow and I say I am going to give, you know, my cow to the temple. So I believe that my cow is not necessarily enough to make that specific cow Hekdesh. That actually if something happens to that cow, I may be liable to bring another cow in its place. So it's not necessarily Hekdesh, that cow specifically. As I said, we're getting into more... I'm gonna assume that's not the case for now because you're getting to more complicated areas of Hekdesh, which I think we'd have to have a better understanding of to know. But for now, we're gonna assume that we're talking about one that definitely belongs to the temple. I don't think that just having one in your field that you have pledged to the temple is necessarily enough. As I said, it depends on the circumstance. Yes,
Rabbi, my commentary. In relation to the liability of the temple, says that Rashi in Tractate Gittin explains the halacha in Gittin says the temple is always exempt from liability for damage caused by a consecrated ox to a privately owned ox.
So everyone agrees to that part of the Braisa.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, that comes from Gittin.
But that doesn't explain why.
It goes on to its analysis from Shemot chapter 22. The halacha could also be derived from the fact that the verse denotes the belligerent animal as one man's ox,
right,
which indicates only a person can be liable for the actions of his ox.
Okay, very good. So that is, again, going back to chapter 22, verse verse 35. Shor-ish. Right, this refers to, as you say, one person's ox. Sorry, David, you were saying.
So 21:35.
21:35, there you go. 21:35, correct, sorry, 22:35. Exactly.
An argument for incorporation, isn't it? If only a person can be liable.
Oh, that's an interesting one. You mean whether that works, whether it's a business. I'm not sure we have that quite that distinction.
It was tongue-in-cheek. It was slightly...
No, busy. But it's a... You can call it tongue-in-cheek.
Serious point.
No, yeah, I think it's a good question. How much we extend that phrase, shor-ish, what exactly are we referring to? The Gemara doesn't talk... Yeah, I think what that would be referred to in halacha is what's called shutfus, which is basically like a joint ownership, and whether that would be liable or not. I'm sure it is liable. But yeah, it's an interesting one, exactly how that works in halacha. I don't know the answer.
It would be inequitable.
It's also interesting that today's corporations are struggling with the same problem.
What, trying to figure out? Exactly. Trying to duck and dive. Okay, we started talking about that because of Andy's question as to why that was the case. So thank you, David, for pointing out. So that's based on the verses of shor-ish, referring to the animal of an individual or of a person or many people, but not that of Hekdash, and that's based on the Gemara in Gittin. I think it's also a Gemara later on in Baba Kama in... what they call here Shor Shenogach Avav HaChamisha, which, if I'm not mistaken, is chapter five or six, around there. So that's a little bit later on in the Gemara. Okay. So Rabbi Kiva is following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, and we went through that. Ihochi. So we're now about 9 lines down on Daf Zion, 11 lines down. Ihochi, if so, beginning of the line. Ihochi, Rabbi Shmuel v. Rabbi Kiva. These two opinions that we have. Mimai dibeidis denizak v'ziboris demazik pligi, dilma de kulei alma b'din nizak shayminon, v'hocha b'plugta d'Rav Shimon ben Menasya v'rabbanon k'mipigi. So maybe we've misunderstood the entire debate altogether. Maybe this is nothing to do with the best of the damaged or the best of the damager. Maybe the entire debate is based on this opinion of Rav Shimon ben Menasya. Rabbi Kiva Sovar Kur Rav Shimon ben Menasya. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that Rav Shimon ben Menasya, like Rav Shimon ben Menasya, that when it says Meitav Sadehu, it's the Meitav Sadehu is basically saying that the temple is that if you cause damage to the animal of the temple, that you have to pay back from the best. And Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, you don't have to pay back at all, right? Rabbi Shmuel Savaka Rabbanon, he holds of the opinion of the Rabbanon, the majority opinion, that you don't pay back at all, that there is an exemption if you cause damage to animals of the temple. Not you personally, but if your animal causes damage to the animals of the temple, and therefore you wouldn't be paying at all. So Im Kain, my lo bo hakasuv. If that's the case, then Rabbi Kiva's statement's a bit too wordy, because that seems to be the end of his statement. Va'od, and furthermore, he also says, my kal v'chomer, right? He adds on this extra piece, my kal v'chomer l'hekdash. Va'od, ha'omer of Ashi, right? We also have another problem with this. When the Gemara lists a series of problems, never a good thing. Va'od, ha'omer of Ashi. Rav Ashi has another statement in the Braisa. Tanya Behedya, Meitav Sadehu, Meitav Karma Yishalem. So this is an explicit reference to this debate between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. The verse says, Meitav Sadehu, Meitav Karma, Meitav Sadehu Shal Nizak, Meitav Karma Shal Nizak, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That at least was the same as what we'd quoted earlier. But now this part is where it's different. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Meitav Sadehu Shal Mazik, Meitav Karma of Shel Mazik. So this at least explicitly states that Rabbi Shmuel, that Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that that you have to pay back from the best of the Mazik, from the best field of the damager. So again, in conclusion, we have basically two debates between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, or at least one debate between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, and one side debate which Rabbi Akiva has with most people. The first one is, again, between whether the best land is referring to the best of the Nizak or the best of the Mazik. Rabbi Akiva's opinion seems to be relatively straightforward, at least in terms of application. The person, the damager, has to pay back from the best of their field, and that is always going to be the case, right? So if they, or sorry, assuming they're paying back with land, they will have to pay back from their best field. Rabbi Yishmael, we already spoke about the fact that actually it sort of depends exactly on the levels of quality of the fields of the Nizak, of the person who has had the damage caused to them. And in some cases, you'll have to pay back from their best land. In other cases, you'll have to pay back from your own best land, from the damager's best land, if they don't quite match up. That's the debate with Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. And we've also concluded through this Gemara that Rabbi Akiva has another unusual opinion, or an unusual opinion, unusual in the sense that it seems to be against the majority, minority opinion. He is of the opinion that that when you cause damage to an animal of the temple, that you are liable to pay back. You are expected to pay that back. The majority opinion, the opinion of the Rabbanon, is that you would be exempt. You would be exempt from doing that. And again, following on from that, Rabbi Akiva says not only are you expected to pay back, but you're expected to pay back from the best land as you would be in any other case of damage. Okay. That's really, as I said, in conclusion, all that we've covered in this piece of Gemara, and I think that's a good place to end. Good. All right. Any final comments?
No.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Very much
indeed. No problem. What's
Rabbi?
I just want to confirm that we're on for 2 weeks' time while we've got this. Yeah, I think we're okay for 2 weeks.
Okay.
The bank holiday. Yeah, bank holiday in America.
Every day is a holiday.